First, there was PlayStation, aka PS1. Then there's PS2, PS3, and now PS4. And that makes sense. You'd think after Xbox, there'd be Xbox 2. But no. Next came Xbox 360. Hmm? And now, after 360, comes Xbox One. Why one? Maybe that's how many seconds of thought they put into naming it.
Can you get the butter, please?
Yeah. However, with the Xbox One, I can control my entire entertainment system using voice commands. Up until now, I've had to use Leonard.
Then get the other one. Pass the butter.
Hang on. I don't feel like you're taking this dilemma seriously.
Fine, Sheldon. You have my undivided attention.
Okay, now, the PS4 is more angular and sleek looking.
No way!
It's true. But the larger size of the Xbox One may keep it from overheating.
Well, you wouldn't want your gaming system to overheat.
No, see, well, you absolutely would not. And furthermore, the Xbox One now comes with a Kinect included.
Included?
Yes. Not sold separately. Although the PS4 uses cool new GDDR5 RAM, while the Xbox One is still using the conventional DDR3 memory.
Why would they still be using DDR3? Are they nuts?
See, that's what I thought. But then they go and throw in an ES RAM buffer.
Whoa, wait a second. Who's they?
Xbox.
You're kidding!
No, I am not! This ES RAM buffer should totally bridge the 100 gigabit per second bandwidth gap between the two RAM types.
This is a nightmare. How will you ever make a decision?
You see, I don't know. What should I do?
Please pass the butter!
Good morning. Ever feel like that when you're communicating with others? Maybe when you're talking to the people that you love, that you are saying something and they're not hearing you, and you know, finally you're just like, oh my gosh. Well, this morning at West, my name is Andrea Smith. I'm the pastor here. We are going to talk about communication and what happens when there's a breakdown. And actually, you're going to get some real tangible ideas and thoughts that you can put around your relationships to help you communicate better. So this morning, I invite you to get a pen or pencil and some paper. There are going to be some things, I think, that you might want to write down that will help you in the days and weeks to come. If you are newer to the West community, we would love to know that you are checking us out either this morning or throughout the week, and we would love for you to text the word welcome to the number that you see on the screen, or the number 704-343-8955. We have some gifts that we would love to share with you, and then you can opt in for communication from us. We are in the middle of a message series about temperaments. Temperaments are the ways that we are wired as people. Like, it is our go-to. We can't help it, but what we can help is how we act and speak out of our temperaments. Temperaments are different than our personalities. Our personalities shape and morph and change as we grow and as we mature, and hopefully as we become more emotionally intelligent. Our temperaments, it is the way we are innately created as people, and we believe innately created by the divine creator God. And so today we are going to talk about what we need from communication. I'm going to give a little bit of a recap of what we've talked about in the weeks past and like what the different temperaments are, and then we're going to dive right into seeing what each different one needs and think about what how we can communicate what we need so that our relationships will be strong and healthy and not in a place that we have to yell at those that we are talking to try to get them to hear us. So I hope you're going to stay tuned with us this morning. Thanks for joining in.
This is about understanding people to the core. Figuring out what you said and what they heard and eliminating this gray area in between. By you understanding your authentic wiring, you'll become the very best version of yourself. What we will be learning about is temperaments, which is the why behind your personality. Of your relationships, every decision you make, and every word you speak. This is going to be a fun journey.
I'm so excited about our topic today because I feel like if we will learn from who you just saw on that bumper, Kathleen Edelman, she is a psychologist that has studied temperaments all of her career and has devoted her life's work to helping people communicate better. I believe if we will think about and be very intentional about our communication, we will create the healthiest and best relationships that we can have in not just our personal lives, but our professional lives as well. Have you ever been to the place in a relationship that you just felt like giving up on it? And the relationship's really important and it means so much to you. It could be a friend or a spouse or a partner or a significant other or even a collegial relationship or a relationship in the workplace. And it's so important to you, but it just seems like no matter how hard you work on the relationship, it just is like going in a circle, and the circle is not a forward moving one, it is a downward spiral. I guarantee you that a big problem in any relationship that ends up in a downward spiral, communication is one of the issues. We have this way that we communicate, and it is tied to our temperaments, the way that we are wired. Different temperaments use different kinds of words, and we use them in very intentional ways and some not so intentional ways. But the biggest point is that the way that we communicate and the way that we speak is not always the way that we are heard. Some of the times when we communicate, it is not what the other person is hearing or, frankly, needs. So that's what we're going to talk about today, and that's what we're going to study. What does each temperament need? Like, temperaments actually need different kinds of words. Some need, you know, affirmation and warm fuzzy words, and believe it or not, some of the temperaments, they need very few words and need maybe no words at all. So I promise, if we want healthy and solid relationships, if we will be mindful, not just about what we need, but about what those that we are in relationship with need from us, we will create happy and healthy and fulfilling relationships. So we've been talking about this for a few weeks. If you're newer to joining with us, I'm going to show you the four different temperaments, and there are some really big words that go with them, and I don't expect you to remember them, but I want to just expose you to them. This idea, this concept is not new. It has been around for thousands of years, traces back to Hippocrates and Aristotle and Plato and Socrates and those leaders during that time period. There are four different kinds of temperaments. There's sanguine, choleric, phlegmatic, and melancholic. And those four different temperaments have different ways of communicating. So now I'm going to show you what those are. So the yellow temperaments, they are geared towards people and fun. They like a lot of attention, and they are pretty vivacious in the way that they communicate. They use a lot of words. And then we have red, choleric, and choleric people, they need a sense of power and control, not in a negative way, but that is when they feel like they are their best selves, is when they have a sense of control about their lives, and they will use words that lend themselves to power and control. Then there's the green temperament, and that is calm and harmony. People that are green are geared towards relationships, and they feel like they are at their best selves when the world around them is one of calm and harmony. And then the last temperament, the blue, the melancholic, those folks are geared towards perfection and order. They like everything to be very orderly and make sense. So those are the four different temperaments. We actually have an assessment or a quiz that you can take, and we'll put it in the chat room at the end of the message. It's also on our website, and you can see which temperament you are. If you don't know, I just invite you today to just sort of listen and think about maybe which of those four areas you tend to gravitate towards. I got an email from a friend this week. It made me laugh, and she said, I have taken the temperament quiz or assessment like four different times. I want to be yellow, and I am red. And I've tried over and over to take it, and I keep trying to even manipulate my answers so that I will be yellow. But no matter how hard I try, I always come out on red. And I want to share with us today, it doesn't matter what temperament you are. They all have so many positives. And some of the most beautiful parts of this are that if we will learn how we're wired, learn what makes us tick, what makes us happy, what makes us unhappy, then we will find that we can merge and mesh with any temperament, no matter how similar or how different they are from us. I will confess, I didn't want to be red either. Apparently, I have no green and no blue, like quiet and perfection and order. That's just not a part of my being, nor is calm and harmony. Apparently, I thrive the best in chaos. Example, we're going on a staff retreat this week. Some of it will be digital with the full staff, and the others, we're going to go and we're going to social distance. We each have our own room, and a friend said, where are you guys staying? I'm like, well, I don't know yet. And they're like, what do you mean you don't know? Oh my gosh, you leave like in 24 or 48 hours. I'm like, it's all good. They're like, well, when are you gonna find a place? And I'm like, well, I'm thinking probably Monday afternoon. And they're like, oh, so soon. I figured you'd do it Tuesday. You'd stop at a rest area on the way. I'm like, I've done that before, actually. And they're like, you know, that works for you. It would not work for me. And I'm like, exactly. And it does. It works for me. I think I probably thrive best in chaos and disorder. And those that are around me that love me, they tolerate that, right? So they've learned how to communicate with me and what to expect from me in communication. And, you know, this actually traces to our spiritual foundation in our life, because we are created to be in relationships. We are divinely created by God, but we are created to be in relationships with one another, whether it's friendships or collegial relationships or love relationships. We're not intended to go through this life alone, but we are called to pay attention to the people that are around us and see what they need. This guy named the Apostle Paul, he was the ultimate entrepreneur. He fell in love with Jesus. He had a life transformational, salvational experience, and it changed his whole being. And so then he devoted his whole life to exposing others and trying to share with others the teachings of Jesus. He started a church in Ephesus, and in one of his letters to this church, he gave them these words, and this is what we're basing this whole message series on. Check out these words with me. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful, and this is the key, helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So this morning, what I want us to talk about is, what do others need? And what do we need? If we find ourselves in relationships that are causing us frustration and anger and sadness, if we do that long enough, we will come to a place that we want to give up on that relationship. And one of the tools that I want you to have this morning is to be able to articulate kindly and with compassion to those that you are around, but to be able to articulate what we need. So each of the four temperaments need different things. So I'm going to share those innate needs with you this morning. Now, I asked you to grab a pencil and a piece of paper. I think it's important to know what we need so that we can articulate and communicate that with others. But I also think it's important, like, think about those that you are in relationship with. If we're going to be followers of Christ, it's not all about us. It is about those that we love. And if we want to be Jesus followers and look like Jesus and act like Jesus, we will spend a lot of time and attention on those that we are in relationship with and think about what they need. Example, I am, many of you know this, in a different season of life. I have a significant other. He is amazing. He loves me so unconditionally, but our temperaments could not be more different. And one of the things that I have learned is that perhaps not everyone that is in a relationship with me needs all 10 billion of my words every single day. So, like, one of the things that I have learned is, and even in the staff relationships, sometimes they need Andrea to perhaps have less words and communicate less. So this morning, as we go through these, I invite you to jot down not just what you need, but what those that you are in relationship with need as well. So first, yellow, and this is my temperament. Yellow people, remember, are geared towards people and fun. That's the language that we use. Yellow people need these four things. These are our innate needs: approval, acceptance, attention, and affection. Approval, acceptance, attention, and affection. Next, cholerics, that's red. A choleric innate need is loyalty, a sense of control, appreciation, and credit for work. Loyalty, a sense of control, appreciation, and credit for work. A phlegmatic, green. Remember, green people are geared towards harmony and calmness. Green folks need harmony, a feeling of worth, a lack of stress, and respect. Harmony, a feeling of worth, lack of stress, and respect. And then our fourth temperament, melancholics. They need safety, security, sensitivity, support, space, and silence. Safety, sensitivity, support, space, and silence. Back when West first got started, we would have strategic team meetings or the pastor's advisory council. Back then we called it a strategic team. And we would gather together, and most of our meetings would last between an hour and a half to 2 hours. And we did a 360 review for me, and all the folks on the strategic team got to do a review. And then I was in a pastor's leadership academy, and I got the results of the 360, and one of the comments just shocked me. I thought we'd been having amazing meetings. We would go in and we would talk, and then we would leave. And some of the comments in the 360s were, nothing is accomplished in our meetings. Meetings need to be more productive. And I'm like, what in the world? I think our meetings are amazing. And what I learned, and what I loved about the 360 is that everybody owned what they wrote. So nothing was, I thought there was technical issues and difficulties. Everybody owned what they wrote. And so the gentleman that said the meetings were unproductive, he's like, well, there were no action items at the end. Like, we just talk about it. And I'm like, but the work gets done. He's like, yeah, but we need to communicate. Like, what are our action items? And frankly, Andrea, there just needs to be less talking. Well, what I learned was his temperament was one that needed more silence and less words. And so that helped me lead better. So what happens when we don't get these things that we just went through? Well, actually, when we are not having our needs met, we act out of that. And that's when those relationships start on the downward spiral. So I want to ask you this morning, are you feeling empty or are you feeling full in your relationships? And I want you to think about that, like personally with those that you love, that you're in intimate relationships with, perhaps your partner, your spouse, or a best friend, your friendships. And I want you to think about it professionally as well. Do you feel empty or do you feel full? We have some questions that we are going to ask you this morning, and I want you to be really honest with yourself, because after this, we're going to go back. We're going to go through the four things one more time and what your needs are, and you will be able to articulate to those, you know, hey, look, I need some space and I need just some quiet time so that I can decompress and get my head where it needs to be. Or perhaps I need a sense of respect. Like, I need to feel like you respect what I'm doing. So first, we're going to dive in to the yellow color, and I want you to decide, do you feel empty or full with each of these statements? Now, if you are not yellow, I think it's really important that as we go through these statements, to think about them and think, oh, this is how I can best care for the yellow person in my life. Like, even if you're not yellow, this is what yellow people need, like acceptance, affection, appreciation, those kinds of things. These statements give examples of what will make a yellow person feel like they are in a solid, happy, healthy relationship. So yellow folks, I want you to gauge yourself on whether you feel empty or full with these statements. First of all, I feel liked for who I am, flaws and all. Do you feel well liked by those that are in your life for who you are? And do they accept your flaws or do they want you to change? Like, yellow people want to be loved and appreciated for who they are. They don't want to feel like they have to change to meet somebody else's expectations. So yellow folks, do you feel liked for who you are? Do you feel full with that or do you feel empty? Second, I'm often included or invited by others. If you want to hurt a yellow person's feelings, you cannot invite them and let them know, hey, we're all going to lunch. Sorry, see ya. That will hurt a yellow person. So yellow folks, do you feel included and invited by others? Do you feel full or empty with that? Third, people give me focused attention and eye contact. That helps a yellow person feel full and affirmed when those that they are with gives them eye contact. They're really actively listening and they're giving them their full attention. And last, I am not noticed and acknowledged by those closest to me. They notice us, they notice me, and they acknowledge me. Do you feel empty or full? So what you do with these four things after you assess where you are and how you're feeling, that's how you can articulate with those that are in your life, like, hey, this is where I'm struggling right now. Like, I feel like you don't like me for who I am. I feel like you want me to change. Those kinds of statements are how you can communicate with those that you are in relationship with so that you will have a happier and a healthier relationship. So now let's move to the red color, choleric, and let's look at your assessment statements. The people closest to me hold me in high regard and always have my back. The people closest to me hold me in high regard and always have my back. Do you feel like your life is full with that and those closest to you, they do have your back? Or do you feel empty? Do you feel like people just sort of leave you hanging out to dry and people aren't really supporting you? So empty or full? Second, everything is going according to my plan and everyone is doing what they should be doing. Now, I want to give a little bit of a disclaimer because I think red people get a bad rap. It's why I think my friend was like, I don't want to be red. I want to be yellow. Red people are not control freaks, okay? So don't go around saying, oh, well, you have to control everything. That is not true. But red people do function best when they have a sense of order in their lives and everything goes according to what their idea is for that particular situation. So do you feel empty or full that things are going the way that they're supposed to and happening in the manner in which you anticipate? Third, I feel valued for my individuality and unique contributions at home, at work, and in relationships. Do you feel empty or full? You feel valued for who you are and the unique contributions you bring to all of your relationships. Feeling valued is very important to red folks. And lastly, whatever I put energy and effort into is recognized and appreciated. Red folks feel like their efforts need to be validated. You know, like, hey, I see what you're doing for me. Thank you. That feeds a red person's soul. So, red folks, do you feel empty or full? And these statements give you the ability to go to those that you love and say, hey, you know, I feel like I'm doing A, B, and C, and perhaps you don't notice. Or when, like, if a red person is in a relationship with a yellow person and the yellow person functions out of chaos and lack of order, the red person can say, you know, when you fail to plan, it causes me anxiety and it causes me to feel like I don't have a sense of control. And so I need us to find a better way to coexist and be in relationship with one another. The third temperament and the assessment of whether you are empty or full is phlegmatic. The green, you are geared towards calm and harmony. I get enough time to relax each day because things are running smoothly. If green folks don't have that time and that space to decompress and chill, they become more anxious. So green folks, are you feeling full or empty with having time and space to relax because your life is going smoothly? Secondly, people around me value and celebrate me for my talents and my traits. Are you empty or full? Do you feel like people in your life value you because that's what feeds you? Or do you feel taken for granted? And feeling taken for granted for green folks really creates an inner sense of unrest and disharmony. Third, I am not engaged in conflict or being pressured by anyone else. Conflict really sends green folks into that downward spiral. They really do not function well when there's a lot of conflict and disorder. So where are you, green folks? Do you feel engaged in conflict? If you do, then you're feeling pretty empty. Or do you feel like everything's going as it should be? Then you're feeling full. And lastly, my views and opinions are heard and valued. That's really important to green folks. So now our last temperament is melancholic. Do you feel empty or full with these four things? Number one, I feel secure in my surroundings and I can trust those closest to me. Remember, in melancholic, they appreciate order and loyalty as well. So they want to be able to trust those that they are around and feel secure in those relationships. Do you feel empty or full. Second, the people around me demonstrate thoughtful consideration of my feelings. Like, they hear you and they listen. They may not agree, but you feel like they are listening to you and giving thoughtful consideration to the things that you think and you feel. Third, people advocate for my interest and look after my needs. Melancholics appreciate and have a sense of fullness when those that they love and they're in relationship tend to and care for their needs. And lastly, there are times each day that are uninterrupted and undisturbed by noise or people. Melancholics Blue, they need just some time to decompress and to find that inner quiet and inner peace. It doesn't have anything to do with the people that they're around. It doesn't mean that they don't like them or don't want to be around them. It just, that is an innate need. Anytime I do a wedding, I do premarital counseling with the couple, and we do 2 to 3 sessions. They're mandatory, and one of the things that we always do is figure out communication. I ask them, tell me what a good fight looks like. Because if you come to me and you say, we're getting ready to get married and we have never had an argument, I'm like, that is the biggest bunch of bull ever. Every relationship, whether it's a friendship or colleagues or our loved ones, every relationship has tension because we're all human, right? And none of us are perfect other than Jesus. So we have to learn how to be in relationship together. One of the couples, they said, we only tend to fight, or our biggest fights happen right when we both get home from work. And I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting. Tell me about that. Well, neither had a very long commute. They each had like 5 minutes to get from their work to their place of residence. And they would come in and one of them would need to talk about like what the day looked like and all the different things that happened. But the other one needed to just come in, put their things down, and go have some time away. And so one person would be like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and talking so much, and the other one would like give this much listening and be like, oh my gosh, I've just got to have some time. Well, that would hurt the other person's feelings. They're like, oh, you don't want to listen to me? You know, you don't care about my work. You don't hear my needs. And what they had to figure out is that they both needed, not wanted, but really needed very different things. That's what's so important about these temperaments. These are not just things that we want. They really are what we innately need. And so after we had this conversation, I said, well, you really both just need different things. And the unfortunate thing is you need them at the same time. So how can you compromise? And so they agreed that when they got home for 5 minutes, they would engage like in a debriefing, and one could talk, you know, the whole 5 minutes if they needed. But after the 5 minutes, they would go their separate ways and go do things in different parts of the house, and they would give one another some space as well. One got the chattiness, one got the time and space. And so in our last session that we had together, I said, tell me, you know, are you still fighting when you get home from work? They're like, no. Oh my gosh, it has solved everything because they were giving each other what they need. Now, part of it, though, for us is, you know, we can't go around and get so consumed with our ego that we expect those that we are in relationship with to know what we need. And the words of Paul, I think they are so important. It is up to us to like pay attention to what others need, but we, with our speech, we need it to not be unwholesome. We need it to be speech and words of love. And so we need to find good, solid, helpful ways to communicate with one another. Here is what I need. And here is why I am acting out in a negative way. Sometimes we get so frustrated and we get caught up in this negative spiral, and we feel like those that we are in relationship with aren't caring about us and aren't giving us what we need. We tend to become withdrawn within ourselves, and we don't want to be vulnerable, and so we want them to know what we need without us telling them. That's really not fair. So it is most helpful when we are in relationships with one another to be able to come to a time and a space that we can say, you know, hey, I love you. I want to be in relationship with you. Here is what I need from you to feel loved and valued and appreciated. One of the things that I think is so interesting in all of those different temperaments, every single one had a statement of assessment around feeling valued and appreciated. Everybody on this earth wants to feel loved, valued, and cared for. When we don't, that's when we start to act out of our less than best selves. So the key is to being able to say, here is what I need. So this morning, as we end together, I want to walk back through those four things that we talked about at the very beginning, the different colors and what those needs are. Because if you are in relationship with someone that has this temperament, this is what they need. And people of this temperament, you need to go on and just accept this is what you need. Like, I think as a yellow person, I'm one of the most needy people ever. Like, I want your attention. I want your affection. I want your approval. I want your acceptance. I mean, I don't know that it's all great to be yellow because I feel like I'm a little needy. But this actually is what makes me tick. It's when I feel like I am at my best self if these needs are being met and I feel appreciated and that folks approve of what I'm doing. So let's walk through the four one final time. So yellow sanguine relationship or temperament needs are for approval, affection, acceptance, and attention. That is what yellow folks, you need. Next, red. Red folks, you need loyalty. You need to know that those folks are going to be with you no matter what. You need to have a sense of control around the things that are happening in life. You need to have appreciation. And you need to have credit for the work that you do. There's nothing wrong with needing credit for the work that you do. And then green, phlegmatic. Green folks, you need harmony and a feeling of worth, a lack of stress, and you need respect. If you don't feel respected, you're going to start acting out of that. And lastly, melancholic, you need safety and sensitivity, and support, and space, and silence. Anytime we are in a situation and our needs are not being met, if we do not acknowledge that that's what's happening, we are going to act out of the lack of our needs being met with manipulation. And we're going to talk about that in a lot more detail next week because we're going to learn about ourselves and learn how we manipulate others. We all do it, right? Like when we're not getting what we need, we start acting out and we do act out in manipulation. But before we get to that, I really want us to this week be intentional about communicating what we need, not just in personal relationships, but in our professional ones as well. And let's start paying attention to what those around us need. When our needs are being met, and when we are meeting the needs of those around us, that is when we look the most like Jesus. I was trying to figure out what Jesus's temperament was. Like, I don't know how you do that, but just looking at all the different stories and examples, and I thought, okay, well, you know, maybe he was a sanguine because he was so happy and always with people. And I thought, but no, Jesus would call them out. Like, if they were hurting other people, he would absolutely say the things that needed to be said. So then I'm like, he's choleric. You know, he will just flat out say, you need to quit treating them this way. Don't turn those children away. There were so many examples of him just being absolutely clear. And I'm like, Jesus was never melancholic. And then I thought, well, actually, yeah, he needed time alone. He would go over to the other side of the lake after he'd been teaching and preaching with all the different groups of people. And then I'm like, well, no, he has to be green because he was all about calm and harmony and being at one with the divine, with God, that's what he called us all to do and be. The bottom line is we all have our temperaments, but we all have these different things that we can act out of, and we can be more well-rounded and more in tune to being just holistic and good and loving and kind people. That would be being the most like Jesus. Jesus wasn't just one, I don't think. He seemed to have this perfect balance of all. And if we will pay attention to ourselves and what our needs are and those around us, then we end up looking a whole lot more like Jesus. And our relationships won't be ones that cause us stress and unhappiness. We will find that we go through this thing called life feeling good and happy and whole. I invite you to do that with me this week. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, you do wire us in unique and different ways, and we all have different things that we need. May we be mindful of articulating what we need so that we don't hurt others when our needs are not being met. May we learn to speak truth in love and say, hey, this is how this makes me feel. Can we look at this differently? God, help us to have open eyes and hearts and minds so that we can look at those that we are in relationship with and see what they need. May we make it not all about ourselves, but about going and giving others what they need from us so that our relationships will be happy and whole. God, thank you for working in us and in our midst. Thank you for wiring us differently and creating us in your image of love. We offer ourselves to you now. In Christ's name, amen. So I want to give you just an update on some just West things, and then I'm going to give you the final thoughts around the message. So a couple of weeks ago, we had a pig out board meeting in which we decided that we were going to stop serving folks on Sunday morning out of the truck and out of this board of directors because of COVID and the increased numbers, and the hospitals are so much more at capacity than they've ever been. And so the board just felt like it would be a prudent decision to stop the organization. And frankly, because my needs were not being met, apparently, and I didn't know that until then, I was just tired and I don't have it in me to try to figure this out right now. And I do want to give credit where credit is due. Don Lynch is like, so what are we going to do? Are we going to keep feeding the people? And I'm like, no, we're just not. And I didn't have the heart to say that to her, but that's what I thought. And then she's like, Andrea, do you know how many people in Iredell County are hungry? And she sent me this article, and her passion reminded me of mine and ours. And so we called to action West in an email and said, does anybody want to be a part of the conversation around how to help solve this problem? So we had a Zoom call just this past week on Tuesday night, although it feels like decades ago because so much has happened. But on Tuesday night, we had 13 individuals gather on a Zoom call and others sending emails saying, I want to be a part of the solution. Since Tuesday until now, we have found a new business partner, a Taste of Buffalo Pizza. They are giving us food today, again, for the second week in a row, totally for free. And then they're going to give us food at cost, things like salad and pasta or pizza. So we have a sustainable plan moving forward. Several of you have said, I want to give money. I can't come serve, but I want to give money. We have had a young adult in the West community say, I want to lead this. A young man named Preston, and he has been a godsend. And because the staff, honestly, like several have said, I will step up and lead, but still trying to figure out church in COVID is crazy enough. So trying to totally redo and take on a new mission has just seemed impossible. And it was just like every time I turned around this week, some other thing fell into place. And then an amazing volunteer found us a refrigerator, and not just a plain upright refrigerator. We are getting a commercial refrigerator that Taste of Buffalo is paying for, and it's going to be delivered here in about 30 minutes, and so that we can get food on Saturday night to be kept cold, to be served cold on Sunday on some weekends. Amazing things have happened, and I am grateful for you and your willingness to not just say, oh, okay, this is going to be hard and complicated. Never mind. We'll just go do something else. You are passionate about helping others, and that's what Jesus looked like. So thank you. That's why I just think it's the coolest job ever to be the pastor of this church. Your staff always step up, volunteers always step up, and it is my honor and my privilege. So we have a sign-up genius. We will share that link again. If you and two other people, we're only going to serve in teams of three or four. We're not going to have big groups at Parkview on Sundays. If you want to serve, you can, and Preston will be in touch and let you know all the details. Also, we are going to go ahead and say we will gather together in person at Lake Norman High School in the parking lot on Palm Sunday and Easter. Palm Sunday is the last Sunday in March. Easter is the first Sunday in April. We're going to do what we did on Christmas Eve and gather together. So I wanted you to know that and go ahead and put that on your calendars. Our goal as a church is to gather together again in an ongoing manner every Sunday beginning in August. Last year, we feel like we wasted a lot of valuable time and energy. We didn't know any better, right? But we kept thinking, okay, well, three more months. And we spent a lot of time trying to figure out like 3 more months, and we didn't have a long range plan. We want to find ways to connect with you and offer you engagement opportunities this year, so you don't feel like you're just floundering and you don't really have a church family and a church home. So we're just going to go on and say, in August, we will gather together unless something else bizarre happens. And I hope it's at Lake Norman High School. If it isn't, we will find a permanent place to start gathering together if it is safe. And we feel like we hope it will be in August. In between now and then, your staff and volunteers are working on different ways for you to gather in very small groups every month. And so we're going to offer 4 different opportunities, 1 a week every month, so that you can begin gathering together in micro gatherings, smaller senses of community. So be watching your email and your text for that information. I do ask that you pray for the staff this week. We're all going to be engaging in our biannual retreat. And so I ask for your prayers for that. And lastly, I want to encourage us to be really mindful this week of knowing what we need and also knowing what others need. Last year, we had one of our fundraising nights, and or actually 2 years ago, and I was eating with a family that I love dearly, and I know them all, and we're sitting at the table, and I kept chatting about lots of different things, and like we'd give very short answers, and I'm like, okay, they hate me. They're all mad at me. So later that night, I asked one of them, I'm like, have I made y'all upset or something like that? Like, I feel like y'all are mad. And he said, why would we be mad at you? And I'm like, well, nobody talked at dinner. And they're like, we never talk at dinner. And so after we started doing the temperaments, I found out they are all either blue or green. Like, they're not chatty people. And so my chattiness was probably driving them all mad. And so I am learning to be less chatty and try to meet the needs of my friends and my family. And you know what? Relationships are better because of it. I invite you to figure out what you need, what they need, and then offer both. May you go in the peace and the love and the hope of Christ this week. Amen.